This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to Tech Talk and my name is Jeff Sandhu. Service Hero is a born-in-the-cloud business that was successfully started and scaled up on the AWS platform. A cloud-based approach enables mass data ingestion and transformation, providing them the ability to rapidly scale the business without needing the re-architecture of the IT solution. And here with me today is...
Hi, I'm Carl Liu, co-founder and CEO of Service Hero.
Hi, I'm Nehemiah Moses. I'm engineering manager at Service Hero.
All right, Carl, let's talk about yourself first. You started off with an LLB qualification, specializing in corporate law.
Yeah.
And now, you know, as you mentioned, you're the co-founder of a mobile startup company, Service Hero. How did your venture into the tech space happen?
Yeah. So it's an interesting story. I think, in the former life, I was a corporate lawyer, but I specialized in information technology law. And it wasn't such a far stretch to move into the tech startup world. I also had another degree in computer information systems as well. And I guess always a self-confessed geek growing up. So I practiced law for 3 years and it was specializing in commercial, corporate information technology and information technology law. So I spent a lot of time helping other businesses start up, creating supporting documents for them. And I guess there came a point where I realized that I wanted to be more involved in the actual execution of building a business as opposed to just doing the supporting work around that. So to cut a long story short, what happened was that I decided to take a sabbatical and just kind of reassess how I would jump into this entrepreneurial space. I ended up going to China for a year just to collect my thoughts and learn Chinese at the same time. And during that time, it was a very interesting time for the expansion of an international startup, Groupon, I guess you guys are familiar with. And I happened to join the founding team of Groupon in China and scale the business from a very small team to about 3,000 people in China. And that kind of experience blew my mind and opened kind of my view into what I wanted to be doing. And that was really building fast-growing internet startups.
And that was your first adventure into this entrepreneurship world, that the Groupon phase that you had.
Yeah, that was my first significant kind of experience.
And it was that huge success that you had in China as well. And then you decided to come back and let's do Service Hero.
There were a couple of other entrepreneurial journeys that I went through after after Groupon as well. So the major one is that I ended up co-founding a e-commerce startup in South Africa. And we grew that to become the largest fashion, furniture, and baby and mother care online stores in South Africa.
Wow. And it seems like, you know, anything that Carl Liu touches on turns to gold.
I wouldn't say that. I mean, it's been an exciting time, and I've been really fortunate with the successes that I've had in the past. Right. Yeah.
And Nehemiah, tell me about your journey. You know, I don't know much about yourself, so perhaps you can. Have you always been in the engineering space, in the development space?
Yeah, my journey started at university, actually, in North Carolina, Chapel Hill in the U.S. Oh. I studied computer science. I went into school deciding I wanted to do business, right? But computer science just attracted me so much, right? Mm. So I wanted to take the technical angle and then go into business. So when I came back to Malaysia, I saw what Carl was doing. I saw what the founding team at Service Hero was doing. Mm. I saw their background. It was really strong and impressive, and they had already achieved so much in like 2 months. So it was a no-brainer for me to join the startup scene. But Service Hero was not the first startup I joined in Malaysia.
Okay.
Prior to that, I was at an incubator here in Kelantan Jaya for a short period of time, and then I joined Service Hero.
And what is it about Service Hero or the startup scene that actually excites you? You know, knowing that you have a qualification that comes from the US and you could practically just demand for your large corporate companies who would do crazy things, and there are multiple spaces in the R&D field where it's an engineering haven. But you decided to I'm going to put on this entrepreneurship hat because it's a more exciting journey. Why so?
Correct. The amount you can achieve with a small team of highly dedicated people is immense, right? The opportunity for impact as an individual, the opportunity for growth is unparalleled, the opportunities you get at a startup. That's what attracted me most. I wanted a really accelerated learning curve, and that's what I got at Service Hero. In a very short period of time, I started from working on the website all the way. Now I'm working on all the across the stack, right? Our APIs, our backend. I'm interacting with customers. I'm interacting with heroes. The potential for learning is immense, and the impact as well.
Mm. And Carl, let's talk a bit about Service Hero for those who don't quite know or have not really experienced yet what Service Hero is about. Tell me a bit about this service providing solution on the mobile phone, and you know you're also on desktop, and it's this 24 hours where I could just demand for a plumber or an electrician. Yeah. Tell me a bit about what Service Hero is about.
Yeah, well, we're if you want to use a fancy terminology, a mobile marketplace for local services and primarily home services. Mm-hmm. And what that means is we connect consumers with end service providers and just make that whole discovery and connection a whole lot more efficient. I can tell you a little bit about the background about how the business started and I guess the problem that we saw and how we saw technology could play a part in increasing the efficiencies of discovering local service providers. And it started off when I moved back to Malaysia in early 2015. And I myself was looking for an aircon service provider.
Ah, it's the own personal problem and frustration that, has basically the idea.
yeah, exactly. So I had a broken air conditioning unit and needed to get repaired. Mm. And I tried going on Google to see if there were any kind of local service providers around me. And I found it very difficult to find someone. Yeah. Eventually called a relative of mine who suggested actually that, she didn't know anyone within the area. I was living in the Sunway area at that point. Anyone to recommend there, but she suggested that I go down to the street level and look at trees and lampposts. And that on the trees and lampposts, I would see signboards for aircon service with a name on it and a phone number, and I just call those people. Mm. And for me, I thought, gosh, this is ludicrous and it's so inefficient that people in 2015 at that point are still going to trees and lampposts looking at signs, collecting numbers to do quote comparisons before they engage a service provider. Right. We are living in an era where everyone has a smartphone, where we have such fast internet speeds. Why don't we just disintermediate the tree? I thought, right? Why don't we create a mobile app that can connect both the service provider and the consumer in a seamless way? And that's effectively what we do. With a couple of questions answered over the Service Hero app, you're connected immediately to a pool of thousands of service providers that are willing to do work for you.
Yeah.
And these guys are hungry to find new work, and they're wanting to find a marketing solution that allows them to more efficiently find customers. So you can imagine how inefficient it is to put a sign on every tree down a street. Now all they need to do is download a mobile app, be onboarded onto our system, and they get basically a cloud solution for marketing. They're able to get work on demand from our platform.
Right. So do you then filter in terms of, because there are so many people who would offer a similar service around, a certain area or a neighborhood, do you then sort of, filter and, how do you manage, you've got to promote this? You have that Google problem as in, who do you promote, push out more, and who you be, you have to be balanced and fair, and, do you push out in terms of pricing, and do you filter against that, and how's the business like in terms of managing that area?
Yeah, the first step is based on categorization of services that they want, right? So we have a multitude of services on the platform, and if you choose let's say general contracting that you need help with, you answer a couple of questions describing your issue. And then some of those questions include where the work needs to be done. So a geographical marker, right? We will deploy a service request to a certain geography, which a service provider is subscribed to. So they've said that they can actually service that area.
Right.
And they'll be provided a whole lot of detail around that service request. Now, based on that information, the service provider is able to quickly assess whether or not they can provide the service and provide an accurate quote for that service. So that's how the filtering works, effectively based on geography as well as a service category that they support.
Mm. And how long is that whole process, in terms of me requesting for something and, getting the confirmation back? Is it within the day or...
It varies across category to category. So if we're looking at matching a consumer with, let's say, a cleaning provider, that can happen within minutes. For more complicated activities such as renovation work, you could be expecting a quote within hours, and at maximum a day, that you would receive up to three to five quotes.
Right, yep. And who makes up Service Hero? Like, are there a lot of programmers and engineers at the back end? Because it seems like you're one of those, where people say Uber is the largest taxi provider, but they don't own any taxis, and yeah. Service Hero is the largest home providing solutions provider, but they don't own any plumbers or repair or technicians.
That's a great question. I mean, we have thousands of service providers that are providing services to our consumers, but actually none of them are on our own payroll. Mm. So we operate as a marketplace. The large bulk of our team are comprised of technical staff like Nehemiah, as well as operational teams that ensure that there is a quality service delivery, that we have training for the service providers that come onto the platform, and to ensure that there's good customer support for the business as well.
And I'm speaking to Carl Liu and Nehemiah Moses from Service Hero, even though you haven't heard much from Nehemiah yet, but you will after this, as I will be asking him about just how much has changed in the customer experience side of things within Service Hero. We'll be right back. BFM 89.9.
Better Finance Management. BFM 89.9.
And we're back with me, Jeff Sandhu, and on the show today is Carl Liu and also Nehemiah Moses from Service Hero. Early on, Carl was explaining about the foundation of Service Hero. So Nehemiah, on to you now. How much has changed with customer experience with the rise of mobile apps? And, we seem to be a pretty demanding bunch of consumers as well.
Correct. So as you know, Service Hero started mobile first, right? We started with a mobile app and that was our primary solution. But as we started operating, we realized that the needs of our customers differed. From customer to customer, their needs varied significantly and we wanted to serve our customers wherever they needed us. So we obviously moved on to the web. We expanded across regions to serve our customers across regions. But yes, because we are able to be on the mobile and on our websites, our customers can come in any time of the day and take in requests, right? Mm. And on our end, we can smartly and intelligently send out notifications to our heroes when they prefer it and when they don't prefer it. So that's how we serve both the needs of our customers and our heroes. We can take in requests any time of the day for the customers and make sure they are attended to in a timely manner by our heroes.
And which seems to be more preferred? People booking or using Service Hero via the mobile phone or via the desktop itself?
Actually, that's very interesting. I would say it's an even split. Our mobile apps are very popular, but so are our websites.
Is there a demographic reason? As in, mobile app seems to be a younger generation who would prefer mobile, and the older generation prefer a desktop based. Is there that kind of stats?
Yeah, you would think so, but actually, interestingly, I see a lot of activity on our website during the day, and a lot of activity on our apps after working hours.
Ah.
So I do see a lot of activity from work, for example, when people are actually at work on their desktops and trying to get something done at home too.
Service Hero claimed or used to say that you guys were the My Taxi for services back in the early days. Was that part of like the inspiration as well, starting something like this?
Yeah, it definitely was an inspiration. I think for me, deciding to start up a mobile app in Southeast Asia, I looked to see whether or not a market was ready, and seeing the kind of trajectory and the uptake of a transport marketplace like Grab or My Taxi at that point being so successful, it really indicated to me that there was a good chance for us to disrupt other service areas, and for us that was home services.
Yeah, and just like I remember when My Taxi, now Grab, and then Uber, when they came into play, there were a lot of backlash from the traditional taxi providers. Did Service Hero had the same kind of backlash as well from the people who would actually go around to paste their phone numbers on trees and under side of the highways and stuff? Did they come after Service Hero?
To be honest, we didn't have any kind of backlash of that extent. In fact, at the core of our business, we're about providing solutions for small and medium-sized enterprises. I think it was very welcoming that that we came to the scene to be able to provide solutions to these local service providers, or heroes, as we call them. They are just much more effectively able to carry out their jobs and market their business. So no backlash.
No backlash. Right. And has it pivoted much, you know, from the beginning, the early days of Service Hero, and now what you're offering and what you're doing? How much has it changed?
Yeah, I mean, we're constantly looking at what our consumers are demanding, their usage habits on our platform, and we react to that. And I think we react in a really agile way. So Service Hero is very different from when we first started, in fact. When we first started, it was merely a platform on mobile only, for first of all, that would aggregate quotes from various service providers. So you make a request for, let's say, a cleaning service, and you get several quotes from several cleaning providers to then compare and then book off-platform. We realized that for some categories that we operated in, our consumers didn't actually want to have to compare quotes. They just wanted some transparency about pricing and a really convenient way to book and schedule a service. So today, Service Hero operates under a hybrid model. So for some categories, including cleaning and air conditioning service, there's fixed prices on our platform. People book and schedule immediately on the platform, and they actually pay for the service using their credit card or the mobile app.
So you dominate that entire space in a way.
So we control what we say the full stack experience for cleaning and aircon services.
Why only those two areas?
For those two areas, those are the ones that we realized required less in terms of comparing for quotes, and speed was more of a concern for our consumers. So if we're able to provide a solution to them that allows instantaneous booking, we delivered that, and we delivered that for those two categories. We still are looking at our long tail of services as well, and deciding whether or not standardization and instant booking makes sense for those as well. But we'll see over time how far we expand.
Right. Let's talk about how you would, you know, pivot, and you know, the decisions that you would take in order to, you know, move ahead, you know, in a different direction, and to see whether it works or it doesn't work. And I'm sure the communication between, you know, Carl yourself, Nehemiah yourself, and I've spoken to Johan as well before. And how within internally the team itself, how do you communicate with, you know, the engineer side, who obviously working with the data that they're getting, and you're on the business side of things, and you're looking and like, you know, this is an easier way to set up. That communication between, you know, CEOs and engineers seems to always have some issues around, you know, larger companies, but for startups it feels a lot more easier. In Service Hero's point of view, you know, how do y'all communicate in that way and decide like this is the right business direction to take, and you know, let's start off with doing for example your, you know, home cleaning services and aircon services. Let's you know, let's dominate this space from, you know, all the way from the inquiry to the booking itself and the payment itself.
I mean, so we're a relatively small team of around 50 people, and compared to a large corporate, the hierarchy is very flat. So the ability for me to walk down the aisle to talk,
just breathing down his neck,
the engineering
and
team.
Likewise,
it's a very flat, transparent kind of environment that we work under. We use data to drive our decisions, and when we get that data, we present it to the engineering teams, and we kind of brainstorm together about appropriate solutions. And it's not necessarily that we need an engineering solution at first instance to actually prove a certain kind of evolution of the product. In fact, when we first started our full stack services for cleaning, we experimented without any technological implementation, and it was just us calling up our providers that we had on the platform initially and arranging manually for them to arrive at a customer's premises. And over time, when we realized that there was traction on this method of delivery of services, then we looked to introduce technology to automate the whole process. So we start off concierging a lot of things, as they say, and then moving towards technological automation. And that's the way that we operate.
That touches on a lot about the culture at Service Hero. Sure, at Full Stack, we started concierging a lot. But the reason we were able to do that, as you can imagine, concierging is very time intensive for operations team. So instead of building a product, we build internal tools to be able to support our operations team. That way, the tech team can work very closely with our operations team and build high-quality solutions so we can actually be very, very efficient, even if, from the customer's point of view, we're concierging a lot of the transaction.
I'm with Carl Liu and Nehemiah Moses from Service Hero, and after the break, we'll be finding out about their needs in a cloud provider and why AWS was their choice. You're listening to BFM 89.9.
Build fortunes modestly. BFM 89.9.
And you're back with me, Jeff Sandhu, and in the studio with me is Carl Liu and also Nehemiah Moses from Service Hero. Now, we've spoken a lot about Service Hero and the foundation of the company, the consumer demands and meeting their expectations. But let's talk about the cloud need that you have. What are the key considerations for you guys when choosing a partner? And I also understand that you're part of the AWS family too.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I think for us, from day one, we knew that we wanted to be a regional company, and we knew that we had to move very quickly. And so the architecture that we adopted is something that we didn't actually take too long to decide on, because we knew that a cloud computing platform, AWS service would provide us with a way to quickly scale the business with low upfront costs, right? Mm. So we really made a quick decision about using AWS at the start. And that has been critical, I think, to our ability to scale efficiently and to move into new geographies. And more importantly, experiment with new technologies to continually enhance the consumer experience. I think Mo's got something
to say. That's a very good
say.
Point, yeah. Right? Amazon Web Services, AWS, allows us to be very lean and very focused when we deliver technical solutions. It also allows us to experiment with new technologies. Things like Lambdas. Lambdas are basically solutions that allow you to run programs without servers. Now, that's unimaginable in legacy systems, but that enables us to be very lean and be very focused, deliver customized, highly customized solutions both for our customers, for our heroes, and for our internal tooling, internal operations team.
Right. And currently, what part of the AWS services that you're subscribed to?
Well, we subscribe to a whole slew of them, right? So at the very basic level, we use EC2, Elastic Container Systems, right? The advantage of that is you don't have to have servers in your own office. You don't have to manage your own servers. All server management is handled on the cloud by AWS, and that means it's highly available. And you don't need a full-time server administrator to just bother about configuring servers and make sure it's up all the time. All those things I can manage from my mobile phone, from my bed, and I've done so before. That is the power of AWS, right? If I find that my website is highly popular tonight, I can just set a few rules and like spin up another server without even asking me. And tomorrow morning, I'll take a look at it. That's the power of Amazon Web Services.
And Carl will immediately now start texting you in the middle of the night. You know, please set up one.
Well, I'll mute Carl.
So we also know AWS is working, you know, a lot on the machine learning and AI. We know about AWS Alexa as well.
Yes.
Is this something that you know, Service Hero is also looking at into trying to, you know, implement, you know, things like chatbot and you know, machine learning and AI?
Absolutely, but we want to focus on delivering a high quality service at the as our first priority, right? So one thing we want to do is connect local service providers to customers in their area, and likewise connect customers to service providers in their local area. This increases efficiencies. The service provider, if they can just serve Sunway instead of having to travel to Puchong and Kelantan all the time, we can give them local jobs throughout the day. That means they can be highly efficient. What we do on our end is we predict where demand is going to be highest, and we assign service providers to that area. So service providers can focus throughout the whole day in one location without spending much time traveling. And that saves them a whole lot of time and increases their efficiency.
And has this also helped in the sense that because it feels like there is, you know, way much less burden on your shoulders, and in terms of, you know, managing the back end, because it seems to be a lot easier when you're running services on AWS. Has that also helped in the business direction in trying to expand to new areas, and you are more quicker in, you know, just trying to just first get research on the area? Is it mature enough? And then, you know, let's move into there and let's expand more and scale from, you know, a few hundred users to 1,000 users to, you know, millions of users.
Having not to worry about setting up the physical technology infrastructure really frees up a lot of our resources to focus on delivering a good customer experience. And I think that is critical. So because we don't need to have headcount that is a kind of infrastructure admins managing a physical infrastructure, we can invest in an operations staff. Mm-hmm. We can invest in doing things around smart use of data to make the experience a lot better for our users. So absolutely, this has really freed up a lot of time for us.
Yeah, because you only have like 50 people in how many countries?
In 3 countries now. So,
unimaginable if you were to, 10 years ago, if you were to think of like, can I actually run a company that operates in 3 different countries with 50 staff? It's probably, you can't really just fathom how to do it.
To give you an example, moving to opening in Thailand, right, required very little additional tech investment. Mm. Right? We were able to push out a product in under 3 weeks. Just to serve the Thailand market, and the bulk of that was just to localize the app, right? Because our product was our product and our architecture was so scalable and was so flexible that it just made it very easy for us.
Mm. Mm. And talk about that localizing. There's obviously a challenge in language as well, and the way of reading or using an app, the behavior between Thais and Malaysians would be very different. I'm sure it would be different if you were even to go to Japan and how they would read and consume data or content. Mm. How do you guys go around that and trying to cater to that market and that particular type of demographics of people?
Yeah. So before we think about opening up a new country, there are two factors that I really look into. One is that there's access to a good and talented local team, as well as market readiness. Is there going to be technology adoption if we deploy this product in a new country? Having local staff leading the operations is really important because they can give a lot of deep insight into the user habits of that country or geography. Mm. So for us, our local leaders and our local teams input into the engineering work on a very, very frequent basis to be able to provide insights into how we should be from things such as how we should be setting up a website, the layout of the website, to how we should be labeling certain things on the app.
Yep.
So local insights and a local team is critical to that effort to make a product that is relevant to the other geographies that we operate in.
Mm. And how many people is there required in order that local team that you mentioned in Thailand, how many is the minimum requirement for you to be able to operate in a certain country?
I mean, to be honest, when we first launched, the team was less than 5 people in the new countries that we operate. All local,
wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
But as demand for the product grows and there's more operational support needed outside of technology, the team grew over time.
Mm. Mm-hmm. And there are Service Hero is not completely unique, as in that there are a few more similar-ish providers as well. How do you then differ from the rest? And also when you expand to these markets, because you would normally start off with a smaller team and then look at how the reaction and the traction is, and then expand from there. How do you fight in terms of making a noise in a digital space when it's so noisy already?
Yeah. It's about really building a product that people love and reacting to consumer demands. And as I've said, the business has evolved tremendously from day one. Mm-hmm. Today, we're the only providers in the region that operate on this hybrid model where you can either instantly book and pay for a service or you can actually request quotes. And I think that's a big differentiation point for us in the market. We're continually looking at developing features that make the lives of our consumers easier. And I think that gives us the competitive edge, that we have an agile team that's willing to really create customized solutions for the markets that we operate in.
Mm. Any interesting insights in terms of the Malaysian user behaviors, or what are the most common things that we would always go on Service Hero, or do we have a habit of booking and then cancel last minute because we're just like that?
I think fortunately we don't have the habit of booking and cancelling last minute. But in terms of the service categories that are most popular, cleaning and air conditioning servicing is a large part of the business. Mm. And it's no surprises here, right? That this part of the world that you need a lot of aircon, you need a lot of aircon servicing.
Yeah.
What we have found that's interesting in some other markets, though, especially in Singapore, is that there is a higher demand for speed, right? Mm. And promptness. I guess in Malaysia we are a little bit more accustomed to
waiting,
right? So they're less likely to jump on the phone and complain if we're 1 minute, 2 minutes late. Right?
But having said that, our customers are actually very, very discerning. If you look at our customers, they have the opportunity to rate our heroes, and they really value highly rated heroes. They automatically attract. They automatically go to heroes with 5-star reviews, and these are all available on the app and on the website.
Mm.
Reviews of our heroes, and it's very easy for us to see that the most highly rated heroes, the heroes with the most positive reviews, are often the most popular. Right, that gives us an opportunity to provide synergies for our heroes. Then, right, we can identify behaviors that highly rated heroes actually take, and we can inform all the rest of our heroes. We can provide coaching, we can provide improvements for them to be able to also upskill themselves and compete.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So you also help out in those areas and all. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's actually very interesting what Nehemiah has said, in that it's about the ratings that determine a choice by a consumer. Less so price, actually, right? Mm-hmm. So you would think that people go to the lowest price provider every time, but that's not necessarily the case. Ratings of a provider mean a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because traditionally, if I were to call an aircon repairman or an electrician, it would be, I'll just ask my mom, who do you normally call? Because that's the trustworthiness of my mom, knowing someone that she has, you know, in one of her address book that she wrote down many, many years ago, and he still apparently has the same number.
Yeah.
And that was the trust that we built. And now we have to emulate that kind of trust within a digital sphere, and the rating system is that trust mechanism. Then.
Absolutely. I think now we've got the power of the crowd, right? Mm. So you're no longer just relying on the opinion of your mother or your aunt. You know, you've got hundreds of people now who are providing opinion that can oftentimes be more reliable than just one source.
Mm. Let's talk about one last question for future-wise in terms of the consumer. What can we expect? Would we see, because of the rise of, you know, VR and AR, and you know, there's also IoT, a lot of our devices are now being connected to the internet, and they could talk to us on our mobile phone. I could control my fridge while I'm, you know, traveling in the UK and, you know, set different temperatures. Would one day my fridge be able to call Service Hero or my aircon to call Service Hero without the need for, you know, Jeff to interfere because it knows when to, you know, repair itself or do a servicing?
Look, there are so many exciting things happening in the technology space right now. For us, most relevant is, I think, IoT and the connected home concept, right? Smart sensor technologies within the home that allow you to live your lives more efficiently. Although there's no near-term plans for us to be implementing IoT technology in our products, I see a future where we will have sensors in our air conditioning units, which will automatically notify Service Hero to preempt problems, right, and to actually deliver service people to fix or maintain a unit before a problem occurs. And I think there's a huge scope for these sensors to be embedded in all parts of a home and then eventually integrated with local service provider platforms like Service Hero.
And Carl is obviously looking in terms of how, you know, the business can pivot. Nehemiah, on your side, like in terms of, you know, just experimenting and playing with devices like this and seeing how it would interact, even though it's not in the long-term plan, is this something that allows, that you could actually do because of, you know, services like you use in AWS and the, you know, the ability that they, you know, present to you, that playground?
Trust me, our engineers are very fast and they're very experimental and they're very lean, right? If they want to do something, they will do it. They'll get to it right now. Right? They're not going to wait for things to change in 2 years before they start doing things. So yeah, you mentioned Facebook chatbots. We've already implemented that. We've already implemented that internally, so we can actually talk to our chatbot and request services. Mm. Right? We haven't deployed that to customers, but we use that internally. And but on a more personal note, right? I think the future of tech is very exciting. I'm personally very interested in med tech. Right? Things like things that enable you to live a more healthy life. Right? Give you live feedback. I'm thinking like continuous glucose monitors, right? Allow diabetic patients to actually monitor how they're doing on a meal by meal basis, on an hour by hour basis. That allows us to do a lot of things. That allows us to live longer, live healthier. And those are the kind of things that really provide long-term impact on the quality of people's lives.
And it's always fascinating to hear startup stories from you guys because, you know, you are changing people's lives and it's a direct impact in a way. And guys, I just want to say congrats so far on the journey, and I hope to, you know, see more of Service Hero doing more crazy stuff in the future. And I also know you've launched a new version of the app as well.
Yeah. Yep.
All right, okay.
Just download it.
All right. Guys, thank you very much.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you.
And I've been speaking to Carl Liu and also Nehemiah Moses from Service Hero, understanding their business and how Service Hero was born, all from the cloud, and plans for the future. You've been listening to Tech Talk on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.